Monster Man, Episode 85, Seafall to Coffer Corpse. Stop missing the Monster Man, it was a bad plan, but I had to get the sound on it. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and in this second season of Monster Man, I'm reading my way through the 1981 Fiend Folio supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in it, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we've got a real grab bag of creatures from the Sea chapter of the Fiend Folio, so let's get started. Our first creature is the Seafall, or maybe it's the Keyfall, I don't know. The name is an acronym, which stands for Colonial Insect Formed Artificial Life, and it is basically like kind of a person-shaped swarm of insects, or actually several different swarms, all combining together to create one mobile, not super sentient colony. First, I think acronyms fit real weirdly in Dungeons & Dragons, don't you think? I mean, they're such a modern thing. The heyday of the acronym is really the 20th century, and it feels, even though there's no reason that you couldn't have one, it feels weirdly out of place in a pseudo-medieval setting. Not that all D&D settings need to be pseudo-medieval, but it just somehow feels weird. And this is a weird monster all around. The other question that I have, and that the Seafall entry goes no way toward answering it, is what the insect swarms get out of doing this. It doesn't seem to make them any faster. They lose their ability to fly, and then if they take a lot of damage, they disperse. So I'm not clear why Seafalls exist, unless someone is creating them. Right? Presumably, whoever dubbed them Seafalls, because it wasn't the insects, who don't get any smarter because of the fact that they're in a swarm form. The other thing you could do would be to say that I feel like if you're going to have Seafalls, they sort of have to have a reason. And one way to handle it would, of course, be to have them be created by some kind of mad scientist, as previously mentioned. Alternatively, it could be that they become intelligent when they're in their collective form. In that aspect, they would remind me of the Marvel Comics villain Swarm, who is, as critics have noted, a combination of the worst things. That is to say, he is a Nazi made of bees. It has kind of a fun regeneration mechanic, that there are sort of two hit dice that are its power source, and the rest are just reserves of energy, and it takes damage to those two hit dice, but the rest of the time it can use its reserves to replenish them. So what this means is that the Seafall is vulnerable to a single powerful attack, but can't be nickel and dime to death over a long period of time. Well, it can, but it's a very long period of time. Whittling it down is a really long, slow process, but one sufficiently powerful blast will knock it out cold or disperse it into its constituent parts, even without using up all of its hit points. It's an interesting mechanic and one that sort of makes sense thematically, but again, the rest of the Seafall is so weird that I feel it kind of has to have some structure built around it before it can be used effectively in a game. It's a cool idea, though. Next, we have the Clubneck, and I'm just going to come out and say it. This is the first monster in the Fiend Folio that I just flat out do not get. Okay? A Clubneck is a big, powerful, flightless bird that has a sort of bony, reinforced beak. So it doesn't club you with its neck, which would seem to be the obvious thing for a Clubneck to do. And so it's basically like a big, mean, tough ostrich, right? But it's kind of not. So, if we go all the way back to whatever episode we did Flightless Bird in, the Monster Manual contains the stats for an ostrich, and reading up the Clubneck entry, I was a little confused, and I went back to look at that original ostrich entry, and my suspicions were confirmed. Compared to an ostrich, the Clubneck does a gang more damage. Its claw attacks are more damaging. Its beak, for all that it's bony and reinforced, I think does the same amount of damage as an ostrich's beak. But unlike an ostrich, it can attack with both claws and its beak in the same round. So in pure toe-to-toe, let's do some damage mode, the Clubneck has the advantage over the ostrich. Which is a good thing, because it's a docile herbivore? But in every other respect, ostriches are tougher than Clubnecks. Ostriches have more hit dice, better AC, and are faster. The Clubneck has an ability that can push it up to a move of 24 for one round every five, right? So we've seen that on other monsters, that this sort of burst of speed mechanic, right? So that occasionally it can speed up to go very fast, but most of the time it's relatively slow. What that means is that over five rounds, the club neck is going to move four of those rounds at a move of 12 and one at a move of 24 for a total move of 72. By contrast, the ostrich, which has a move of 18, is going to move 90 over that five-round period. So the club neck, if it gets close to an enemy, is going to do more damage. And I guess that's a good thing because it has fewer hit points, worse AC, and not as good of an ability to get away from its attackers, which it should do because it is, you know, otherwise a docile, harmless animal that doesn't attack anything unless it's provoked. So it's a very slight mechanical variation on the flightless bird from the Monster Manual, and it doesn't have any, like, context or hook that would make it distinct from the flightless bird from the Monster Manual. So I really don't know what it's doing in here. I really want to know what is the origin of the club neck, but I can't find anything. It's not a Fiend Factory monster, I'm pretty sure of that, and its creator is listed as M. English, who I don't know very much about. So it's all a bit of a weird one to me. It's a big flightless bird. It's not that different from the flightless bird. And it doesn't have any kind of character that would make it different. So I'm not 100% sure what's going on with the club neck. If somebody else has the lowdown, please tell me. Finally, we have The Coffer Corpse by Simon Eaton. Now, The Coffer Corpse is... I'm of two minds about the proliferation of the undead. There are a lot of undead monsters, and a lot of them are pretty similar to each other. Coffer Corpse is basically a kind of zombie with a slightly different mechanic. You can... If you hit it with normal weapons, that is, non-magical ones, it sort of seems to fall dead, but then around later it gets up again, and that causes fear, because you thought it was dead and now you're startled. It also has an attack where it kind of latches onto you and tries to choke you to death, so sort of a grapple and strangle. It can be killed with magical weapons. So it has a fun little extra mechanic, right? It's almost more like a modular upgrade for some zombies, right? What you really want to do is have a bunch of zombies and then some of them are coffer corpses just so that you can get that, like, I'm dead, but am I? Bit that you get with zombies. And that makes perfect sense. That's very in keeping with the aesthetics of the zombie story. And I can't help but feel that these are likely to come from some particular, you know, scenario that Simon Eaton was running, because if you go back and look at the Fiend Factory article that The Coffer Corpse came from, and that's in White Dwarf number 8 from 1978, it's the same issue as The Carbuncle, and it has an illustration showing the funeral barge, right? So the beginning of this monster's entry says that the coffer corpse is found somewhere where, like, a corpse has failed to return to its maker, right? So someone has kind of failed to go on to the afterlife. And one of the examples it gives is a stranded funeral barge. And the majority of the illustration in that White Dwarf issue is actually the stranded funeral barge, but you can see these kind of creatures in it. But so I almost wonder if that's not, you know, these were created for, like, a particular encounter. And I do think that it's good to have, you know, that zombies aren't always zombies, right? That to keep a classic monster fresh, you know, it's not necessarily the case that every time a dead thing is reanimated, it should just have, you know, the stats of a zombie from the Monster Manual. So, you know, on the one hand, I think that's a really good idea. On the other hand, all of these distinct, mostly similar undead monsters are kind of a lot to keep track of. But the Coffer Corpse is pretty cool. It has an ability that is very kind of on theme for undead creatures. I really like the idea of the stranded funeral barge. It seems like that'd be a fun thing to include in an exploration scenario. It gives you undead in a bounded environment, but that isn't a dungeon, tomb, crypt, you know, whatever. So you could have some kind of unexpected stuff. It's just, you know, nice to get a little bit of a change of scenery. So overall, I think the Coffer Corpse is pretty strong. And I like the Seafall, although I think you would need to give it a little bit of work in order to make it fit the contours of your campaign, whereas by contrast, the Coffer Corpse could really kind of, you know, fits into almost any fantastic culture unless you've really done something unusual with yours. And the club neck, I just don't get. So if someone wants to enlighten me on the club neck, please do let me know. I'm always eager to learn more about these critters. Either way, though, tune in next time when we're going to be talking about the Crab Man and the Crypt Thing as we conclude our journey through the Sea chapter of the Fiend Folio on Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/monsterman, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the deities and demigods advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.